tonight we're all here for storytelling and shit, but also because we are magically raising some money for the Chicago Women's Health Center, so snaps for them.
Yeah.
So tonight you're going to hear stories from a bunch of bomb-ass people, and starting with Vanessa Wililko, who is one of the founders of Smash Coven, who are a bunch of ladies who identify as witches who raise money for cool nonprofits. And Vanessa, in addition to being that awesome, she's also written a book about how to put together chainmail jewelry. She's also very tall. And
you won't be able to see this if you're listening to the podcast, but she is wearing something that she made right
yes.
now. And the pattern has disco dancing witches on it.
Yes.
And it's amazing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Without further ado, Vanessa Wililko, the beautiful bitch witch.
I only hope I can live up to Katie's description. She is the publicist I do not have to pay for, which is really great. I was raised by people with untreated mental illnesses. So even though I typically present as calm and confident and occasionally even charming, the fact of the matter is that I am white-knuckling it most of the time. I have worked very hard not to be as crazy as my family raised me to be, but it takes constant vigilance. When I'm feeling confident, I am the unstoppable Shakti Ma. I bend the universe to my will and I can make anything happen. But when I'm not confident, I'm crippled by anxiety. I question everything and I spend time with people who are probably not the best for me. So it should be no surprise to anyone that about 3 years ago, when I was depressed and wanting to just burn my life down and start again somewhere else, that I was recruited into, made queen of, and then shunned from a group of friends with an unwavering devotion to non-confrontation. I didn't see this at first, partly because of the depression, and partly because when I first met them, they told me everything. I felt like I was a part of them, like we were like a real group. I mean, I have a face that people want to confess to anyway, but, this group of people had known each other for a long time, and they were so eager to tell me everybody's secrets and all the years of animosity and jealousies and idiosyncrasies. And I listened to all of it. The double-edged sword of growing up in chaos is a thing called hypervigilance. And if you are not familiar with that clinical term, it means that I am constantly retaining, tracking, and analyzing every little bit of data that comes my way. I miss things I see things that most people miss. I can tell if a man is an alcoholic by the way his eyes sparkle when he first meets me, and that is not hyperbole for the sake of this story. That is a real thing. And I think that's why I was drawn to social science research in college, because it spoke to my natural tendency to collect and make sense of small bits of data. The flip side of hypervigilance is that if something is right in front of me, I don't believe it. Nothing was ever easy when I was growing up. So if something is easy, it can't be true. There has to be some more complex thing at work. So when my other friends started telling me that they thought one guy in this group was into me, I just didn't believe it. Because no one in the friend group had said a word to me for months. So I just brushed it off. Until one of them told me that the guy in question's ex accused him of setting me up as his next girlfriend. She claimed that he did this thing called wing walking, where he would wait to break up with his current girlfriend until he had groomed somebody to take her place. And if you are wondering why I didn't walk away from this real-life WB drama then and there, you are not the only one. But I was raised by a narcissistic grandmother, and I am used to battles of will. So once I realize something is a battle of will, I dig in and I don't let go. So this pattern continued for months. A flood of texts between each other. We were hanging out all the time, but neither of us said anything of consequence. That changed one night when he made a move. He said he was motivated by getting some devastating news about his grandmother, but I will never know for sure. 2 days later, after an hour of more texting, he told me that he was too fucked up for a relationship. When he finally agreed to meet me in person, and I had to fight for this, it was like getting a cat into a carrier, He truly seemed sad and contrite, and I thought we could stay friends, except he ghosted. The texts were the first thing to go, and finally I stopped getting invites to the house parties. And then the entire group was gone. These friends that I had built memories with for years, they called me their blood witch. But I had upset some equilibrium, and it felt like I was erased. So I did what any self-respecting witch would do. I performed a ritual to cleanse myself of this bad energy. I let a dried rose symbolize my past mistakes, and I burned it on an altar, releasing all of my fears and all of my desires for, if we're going to be real, abandonment. And I consecrated another rose as a guide to lead me to a good man. And 2 weeks later, I met one. And he is kind and warm and available in ways I never thought I could be attracted to. And we've been seeing each other for a year, and he's actually taking video right now. So if I can leave you with any advice, it's this. The only people you need to spend time with are the ones you can be honest and vulnerable with. If you think that secrecy and silence are good enough, they're not any good, and they are not good enough. 2, if you need to make a big change in your life, burn some dried flowers on your balcony.
Yeah.
And 3, you know, it was funny. This guy, after months of silence, he texted me on my birthday out of the blue. I finally said, listen, we got to talk in person for real this time. And he sent me a bunch of texts. My favorite one being this gem. I don't require a talk. And it was then that I realized I was crazy to continue this. And this situation was crazy. So again, if you're going to fuck with a social science researcher, don't put it in writing. We're trained to keep primary sources.
Give it up for Vanessa. Oh my God. That's amazing. I cleaned an ex out of my space once by just dumping a bunch of my menstrual blood onto all of his clothes that he had left on my place. And then setting a record that he had left at my place on fire. It was Alkaline Trio. It was garbage. Anyway. On to the next story.